Today's daf is daf Yudalid. We're holding at the bottom of daf Yud Gimel Amud Beit Hayevaman Yiknet Bivya. So we finished Baruch Hashem, the first part of the Mishnah that tells us the dinim of Kinyon Isha, both how the Isha is Niknet and how she's Konet Tatzma. The Mishnah continues now with the second series. Hayevaman Yiknet Bivya. Once again, we have to go through the Mikorot. So ask the Gemara Bivya, Minolan, how do we know that Yavam is Nikne Bivya? Makra Yavama Yavo Aleha. So you see that after that, Yavo Aleha Lekachalo Leisha. So in other words, the Lekachalo is the act of Yavo Aleha. It says it very clearly. Says the Gemara, but maybe what it's saying over here is that we should compare the Yavama to the Yisha. And that is the Kachala of the Yisha. That there's the Chiyav to take her the way one would take an Yisha. So no, if there is an additional Kinyan by an Yisha, which includes Kesev and Shtar, so then we should include that with the extra Rivui of the Yisha. No, says the Gemara. The words Leisha can't mean to tell us that. Zosakadaita, the Tanya. You might think that we indeed should learn out one of the Kinyanim from the other Kinyanim. And therefore, if we know B'Yasur Kesavishtar could also be Gomer. Talmud Lomar, at the end of this Pasuk, why does it say, it adds now, sounds like that ought to be the end of the pasuk. Instead, we throw in another word, v'yibma. I mean, you just said that. Elamai, what you're saying is that this, and only this, is the way in which one goes ahead and achieves a v'yibma with yivamo yavo aleha. Then v'yibma. So that teaches us that she's not kakula milta. Gisha, but is limited to be a dafka. Be a gomeret above in kesef v'shtar gomrim ba. Says the Gemara, but that's for another drasha. That actually we learn, and the word v'ema, Rashi, changes into the much more suitable, that it should say, hami boile. This drasha we know we need for v'yibma, to tell me v'yibma, that's the mapike, right? It's like you get her. You do this act to her, which means even Baal Korcha. So this teaches us not that Dafka B is the only way of doing Yibum. It teaches us that you can be Miyabe in Baal Korcha. In which case, V'yimaz Baal Korcha, we no longer can use it to be Mamaya to Yavama from the Kinyonim of Kesef Ishtar. Answers the Gemara. Yeah, but if that's the case, if he's Miyadi Baal Korcha, Miyabe, Mimke Lema Krav Yabe. If all you're trying to say is that under any circumstances he can go ahead and be Miyabim, you don't need V'yibma. Just saying V'yabim is telling us, and then it's up to him. He can be Miyabim, and that's all that we're interested in. The additional hey is to tell me that this is the only way. That's the point. We now know two separate limudim from this one pasuk.
Is it acceptable to rape the woman if she doesn't want to? You can rape her.
Our moralist. That's when Batman decided to show up. We know that we have other inyanim in the pasuk that tell us that everything has to be al pi beit din. Right, so Alta Ashara and so on and so forth. So their best and gives an Eitzah Teiva if she doesn't want, when and so on and so forth. That the Gemara discussed in Yevamis. But Lemaisa, if a person would really rape his Yevamah, it would be a kosher Kenyan. Right? Which means Bechlal, all the other cases, the strange cases that we had in the Sech Yevamis. It's okay if we don't need that time. There's all kinds of crazy cases. Guy falls on top of her from the roof. Yeah. Those are all included in the fact that we don't need her das.
But Chazal,
of course, the Torah. You don't need Chazal. The Torah says that you're supposed to go according to the Eitz of Beis Din. Malamed shebeitin meisim lo itzal genet lo. Even if she's younger than him, and she's much younger, they tell him, "What do you need? It's not going to work out. What do you need it?" I mean, obviously, we don't literally rape her, but this is halakhically speaking, we don't need her dust with all of the implications of such a psak. Next thing we learned is that she can be kainas hasu b'chalitza minola. The chtev nikra shmo b'Yisrael beit chalutzanal. What's Rebbe Nikra Shmo B'Yisrael? And all of that is like, who cares? Unless what it's saying is that now, B'Yisrael as a whole, she can now be a Bayit because she is a Chalutza. So Nikra Shmo B'Yisrael, look, this is a Bayit suitable for you. You want to go marry her, you can go marry her. That's what the pasuk would mean. In which case it's telling me that after Chalitza, she's suitable as an Isha, meaning as a Bayit to anyone B'Yisrael. So Kivan Shekalotzba, now, Hutralacho Yisrael. Yeah, the problem is that we need that pasuk for something else, says the Gemara. Hay Yisrael, Ochu Diata. That's what you're learning out from Nikra Shmo B'Yisrael. That B'Yisrael teaches us that it has to be done by Beit Din Shel Yisrael specifically. The law by Beit Din Shel Gerim, it has to be done. Is this the whole Indian over here? Is to restore the yichus of the mishpacha to the family, going all the way back. That's the whole point of yibum. So then you can't do this in a Beis Din of people who themselves are now beginning a journey in Yisrael, but are not placing something backwards into time in Yisrael. In which case, even though a Beis Din of Gerim is a completely normal Beis Din, but here we have a special halacha that tries to relate things back to their roots in Yisrael, so therefore you need to have a Beis Din of Yisrael. Says the Gemara, yeah, but that's true. But it also says, Rakim Lachim Shem Be Yisrael, right? Well, obviously, where else are you going to be making Lachim Shem? So in other words, the idea over here, this B'Yisrael already tells us that there's a concept of placement within the entire range of history of Yisrael. That already lets us know this halacha. If we have now the other Yisrael, it's to teach me that she becomes mutter for a bayit B'Yisrael after Chalitza anywhere. Trei B'Yisrael k'tivei. Yeah, but even that one I learned out for something else. I got to be by Leila Kitatanya. Omer Rabbi Yehuda. I was once sitting in the Beis HaMedrash by the Beis Din of Rabbi Tarfon. So, you know, Yoshvim, Lifnei Rabbi Tarfon, Ubat Yivama Lachalotz. So we had a Maisa of a Chalitza, somebody came in, he does Chalitza, then he tells all of the people standing in the Beis Din, and he told us, Amar Lanu, Anu Kulchem, all of you now have to stand up and shout out, Chalutza now, Chalutza now. There's an Indian in the literal meaning of the pasuk, V'nikra Shmo B'Yisrael, that all Yisrael that are there should make the announcement that this family is Chalutza now. No, that Rabbi Tarfon didn't learn that out from Beit Chalutza now. He learned that out from V'nikra Shmo. It's about V'nikra Shmo. What is that supposed to mean? So in other words, it means the same way we make an announcement of a name. V'nikra Shmo B'Yisrael, we say this is the name. So that means the people that are there are actually Karei Shmo B'Yisrael. I give it a shame of Chalutza now. But meanwhile, we still have the drasha that Kivan Shenechlitza, there's now a Bayit B'Yisrael that is Shayach to everyone. So we're learning out Bayit B'Yisrael, Heter V'Efter Chalitza, in other words. We're learning out the din that's supposed to be announced. And we're learning out that it has to be the Beit Din Shel Yisrael Dafka in order to establish the yichus of the family. Uv mitat hayavam. It's very ironic, of course, that the most significant yibum in history was done by Gerim. The whole story of Ruth. That whole idea is like the ultimate yibum that goes all the way back to Avram and Lot and so on. But it can't be done for Beit Din Shel Gerim. It's completely different than Yavam. Okay, the other thing that we said was that if the Yavam dies, the Yavam is now Mutar Pecholot, Minola. He says, well, what do you mean, Minola? I mean, if an Eshet Ish, Shebechenek, is Yotze with Mitata Palos, we proved yesterday, so then isn't it a Kavachomer? Kavachomer, my Eshet Ish, Shebechenek. And the din over there is nonetheless mitata ba matirata. If her husband dies, she's allowed to get married to anybody. A yavama, the iser of yavama l'shuk lo tiyesh tameta kutsa l'izar is only a lav. And so koshikain, a lav is going to be removed with the, if you do what you need. If you do what you need to do, it removes. Or if the guy dies, then he removes himself, so it's removed. Not necessarily, says the Gemara. I mean, an Eshet Ish obviously has easier sets of Yetziah. I mean, you could give a get to an Eshet Ish, you can't give a get to a Yavama, so maybe because of that, the death of the Baal also is Matir. Mashen came by the Yavama, since we're so Machron, or the get's not going to work, So maybe the mitata adiavam also won't work. The malach dishken yotza beget, tomar bezosh any yotza beget. That doesn't matter. Get chalitza. I mean, that's however the Torah views the ofen of yitzia. That's the same thing. But the idea is, you can't tell me, well, there's no way to be matir her. This one has its appropriate way to be matir. This one has its appropriate way to be matir. So there certainly is heter available. So now the Kal Vachomer still makes sense. If l'maisa, you're going to be matir in some fashion, a iser chenek with a get. So and nonetheless, the death achieves the same thing. So koshken, when you're matir, iser lav with chalitza, death achieves the same thing. It's included in the Kal Vachomer itself.
But Eva, when she's married,
after she's married, she's an isha. Isha.
Then she's also go out with the gates.
But then she's not a Yavama. The whole meaning of the Mishnah when it discusses Yavama means, obviously, specifically, a Yavama qua Yavama. The moment she's no longer a Yavama, she moves back now into the first part of the Mishnah. But how do we know that the death of the Yavam is going to be matir her, the Kulei Alma? There's no Isra of Yavama Lashuk. Hello. Okay, now here's the way to ask a question. I know I'm bothered by something. Let me put my finger on it. Ella, what I mean to ask is this. An eshet ish, when we say that the husband dies, that now she's muteret, remember that that was our first, the initial reaction to how do we know it, Mista is matir? What did we say yesterday? Our original reaction was, I mean, isn't it a svara? If he's the one that asks her, is he the one that matir? Then we showed that for arayot, that's not necessarily true. But just because it's not necessarily true, once it is true, it's obviously a relevant point. So over here, who is the one that asked her initially, this Yavama? Her original husband is now deceased. That original Kenyan continues on now to create a Zikah LeYivam. So now you want to say the death of the Yavam is now Matir, a Kenyan that was made by another guy. That doesn't follow at all. Bishleimah, where the person himself dies and that ends up with a Heter. Okay, understand. His presence asked her. His lack of presence, his death, is matir her. But over here, it wasn't the Yavam's presence, it was the original husband's presence. Well, he already died, and that didn't help. So why would it help for the Yavam to die? So, Mala Ishatishi came Osra Matira, the one who created the Isra, is the one who's matir with his death. Omravashi, but that's not a valid argument, because if there would have been no Yavam, and the original husband would have died, she would have been Mutara. So now you say, well, he already died and it wasn't Matir. So obviously the point is that it's not that he already died that is a Matir, it's the existence of the Yavam that is a Matir. In which case, what it all boils down to is that the real Isser is coming from the presence of the Yavam. If the Yavam hadn't been there in the first place, the moment the original husband would have died, she would have been Mutara. So who's the guy that's standing in the way of her Heter Lashuk? The Yavam. So now if the Yavam dies, so then it's the same thing. Osra's Matira. That's the way to look at it. So Hanami Osra Matira, because ultimately it's the Yavam that's Osra, in which case it's the Yavam that's Sharila. So that doesn't bother. So now we accept the fact that Mitata Baal, in Mitata Yavam, indeed is the equivalent of Mitata Baal. The Yavama goes out free. There's no Yisurim that are left on her. Now let's turn this around and say, okay, so now that we've established that the halacha is that there's a yitzia of chalitza, so they stop playing toesies and come. So so now, I'm telling you, they're always at each other. So now, why don't we ask the Eishet Ish Yotza b'chalitza? If even a Yavama is Yotza b'chalitza, and it's more difficult. So now we stay a Kal Vachomer. If a Yavama who is not Yotze Beget is Yotze Bechalitza. So Koshkin and Ish, Eishes Ish, who is Yotze Beget, should for sure be Yotze Bechalitza. Because Chalitza seems to be the ultimate split. So it's a very graphic way of saying it's over between us. So why shouldn't she be Yotze Bechalitza? That is, we saw earlier in the Masechta or Makra, Sefer Kritut, Sefer Korta, Vein Dabar Acher Korta. We already saw from the Smichus. Rashi learns it's the smichus of the kritut to sefer. Others learn it's bechlal, the additional word. That the only thing that can be korated in Shah is not chalitza, but a sefer. Okay, so now let's go in the other way around and question our initial assumption. We said that Yavam is not Yotze Beget. But now we can make a Kal Vachomer that should be Yotze Beget. Because, let me say it like this. Tei Yavam Yotze Beget be Kal Vachomer. If an Eishet Ish, we saw that chalitza is not good enough to be matir an Eishet Ish, right? So, but nonetheless, a get is good enough. Okay, so now we know that actually the get is a more powerful mechanism for sundering. It's varmish gritut. I mean, it leaves you completely separated. So maybe that's because a get indeed is more powerful. So zusha yotze b'chalitza, if we don't even need a get, it's enough to be yotze b'chalitza, which does nothing for an eshet ish, ain't no din she yotze b'get, so for sure should be yotze b'get. Says the Gemara, you're right. The only problem is that the Torah specifically excludes this, because it says that at the time of the Chalitza, what she is supposed to say is, Kacha ye'aseh la'ish asher lo yivneh beit achiv. So Kacha, what does Kacha mean? This, and only this. In other words, it's telling me there is no other way out of this situation other than to do things in this fashion. That's kacha. Kacha is ikuva. Since the Torah goes out of its way to say that you absolutely must do it this way, you cannot use a kal vachomer to question that absolute statement. So, is that so? What? Kol eichad hi ikuva? What you're saying is that once the Torah says this is an absolute halacha, kal vachomer is not included in an absolute halacha. I question that. I mean, because kal vachomer being one of the modes in which the Torah is midrashet is included within the kacha, right? I mean, why would kacha mean only what is written, but none of the things that would normally be included in what is written? Where do you get that from? I'll actually give you a raya that even where we have ikuva, and there's other ways of saying ikuva, not only kacha, you could have an ikuva by the fact that the Torah says chukah or something like that, right? So wherever it's saying this is an absolute, don't question it. I'll bring you a case where we have a din of ikuva, and nonetheless we want to use a kal vachomer. So I question your assumption. She can't use a kal vachomer because of kocha. Kol eichad hi ikuva lo dash kal vachomer. Trying to tell me that because the Torah is so absolutist in its approach to a particular halacha, you can't apply the dinim of Torah Shabbat plan to the kal vachomer. But Yom Kippurim, by Yom Kippur, the Torah tells us that you're supposed to go ahead with Natan Aaron Ashnei Asirim Goralot. Right? Goral achad l'Hashem, goral achad l'Azazel. But it also writes over there that it's supposed to be v'aytazot l'chem l'chukat olam. So l'chukat olam is even better than kacha in terms of ikuva. This is the way and the only way for all generations that you got to do this avodah. You're going to have to go ahead, put your hands down, and place it on there. Don't try to give me those computerized random number generators. This is the way to do it. It's the only way to do it. Nonetheless, the Gemara entertains the notion that we would make a kal vachomer that we could get around the goral. Because it says like this. It's a braita, the time. V'asahu chatat. So this lashon of the asahu is, it says, bedavka, v'yikriv Aaron et ha-sa'ir asher Allah alav ha-goral Hashem, v'yasoh chatat. I'm sure as you say that on Yom Kippurim, why are we once again asher Allah alav ha-goral Hashem, v'yasoh? I mean, we know what we're talking about. So the pshat is, v'yasoh chatat, only the fact that asher Allah alav ha-goral Hashem, that is what makes the chatas. Not Aaron should do the chatas. But rather, Asher Allah, Allah the Goral Hashem Vassal Chatas. It's the Goral that made a Chatas and nothing else. Why do I need that pasuk to tell me that the Goral is also Chatat, ve'in Hashem also Chatat, that just Kriyat Hashem, which normally is fine. Guy goes ahead now and buys a carpet. He says, I'm buying this carpet to be my carpet Chatas. Becomes a carpet Chatas. Boom. You don't need to make any Goralot. As a matter of fact, if you made a Goral, it wouldn't work. We make a goral. So the fact that some random thing appears on the head of this animal turns it into a chatas. Ridiculous. So I would have said, therefore, if it hadn't been for this pasuk of the asol chatat, shiachol, my natural inclination would have been to say kavachor. And we're saying this kavachor despite the fact that it says chukat olam l'dor techem, which is li'kufa. So we see, we're going to say this kavachor, if it wouldn't be for an extra pasuk, despite the fact that this is chukah le'ikuva, or kacha le'ikuva in our case, right? Following this, you've got this glazed look in your eye. No. It's not that you'd rather be water skiing. Okay. So, what's the kal vachomer? Like this. Umab umokam shaloki de shagura. In a normal case, where you're trying to make something kodesh, let's say you take now kinim, one of which is a chatat and one of which is an olah. Right? So the woman decides, look, I can't make up my mind, the pasuk's pretty little doves. Why don't we use a goral? It's not going to help. That goral is not going to turn one into a chatas and one into an om, okay? Nonetheless, it's kidesh Hashem. If Lamaise, at the time that she purchases this thing, or the Kohen could be koveyed by defining at the time of the Aveda by saying, this is the Katas, this is the Oila, but the girl doesn't do that. So if the Torah is now Marba the Goral for the Sayer of Yom Kippurim, so Koshe Kane, the normal modes, would be okay. So if the Kohen would say, this one is Katas Lashem, and he does it to the girls, which would certainly be alright. Now, why does the Gemara say, what are you talking about? It says, Chukas Olam L'Dor Techem. Well, what are you making a Kav HaChomer? The Gemara doesn't say that. Right, it doesn't say that. Instead, what does it say? Eino Din Shei Kadesh Hashem? No! Therefore, we need this extra pasuk to tell me, Tamad Omer V'Yasoh Chatat. It's Asher Allah, Allah V'Goral Hashem V'Yasoh Chatat. It's the Goral that was Oseh Chatat. V'in Hashem Oseh Chatat. Okay, now it's only because we have this additional pasuk, the timer, the Miyate Kra. Because we have this additional pasuk to tell us that it's not going to help you to say which one is which. That's why. But if it wouldn't be for that, Allah V'Afi, we would have said a Kav HaChomer. Darshina Kav HaChomer, despite the fact, Afagav, Dikhtiv Bechuka. So you see that just because you have a kacha in this case, or the chuka in the case of Yom Kippurim, that does not exclude things that are meant to be understood as having been included in the halacha because of a kav v'chomer. So now what are you telling me? It says kacha. That kacha means you can't apply your kav v'chomer to say that get should help. Why not? Ooh, yeah, that's a good point, says the Gemara. So all right, so let's try that again. Yeah. Since it says v'katav la sefer kritut, so that means la v'lo liyavama. The only a woman who's an isha, regular eshet ish, but a yavama, it's not going to help you to write a sefer kritut. Okay, pasuk, extra pasuk. Says so, Gemara, wait. We need that pasuk. Don't try to get away with that one. That was like the big pasuk in Yavamas. If we hadn't been doing the Dav Yomi, maybe we wouldn't have noticed. But you can't pull the wool over our eyes with that one. We know what that pasuk means. La means v'katav, la lishma. That's the primary meaning of the word la. So how are you telling me it means to her and not to the Yavama? That's not what it means. Yeah, but it says that pasuk twice. It's the exact same pasuk. Because the same pasuk occurs again, v'yatzav ha'ita le'isha acher, usnei ha'isha acharon, v'katav la sefer kritut, beep. So that means now we got a double law. The one tells me la, if it has to be the Shema, and one tells me la, v'lo li'yavama, so trei la k'tivi. No, we're smarter than that too. Because we know what the other one comes for. Because remember we had the case, the guy has two wives by the same name, so you can write one get, you could, Talmud lo'yimar, la, no, the get has to be written after la, and not for two women. So la v'lo l'chaverta. So in a case we have two women married to the same guy, I mean, listen, it's very effective. Because if you just say, will somebody clean up this kitchen? Nobody does it. Right? If you say one of them, clean up this kitchen. You know, the case is she's not around, she's not available, so then you'll have to remember the name of the other one.
Man, you're totally here.
Well, they know when their mother tries to get them to clean up the kitchen, she goes through the whole list and then remember what's going on. So it can happen. So this way, if both women have the same name, it's no problem. You also save on Gershon. You only get one. Talmud Leimar. Anyway, so it comes along the third. So now we have a need for both of these psukim in the sugi of Gerishin. So that's much more reasonable, because like the Gemara always says, right? We're being Isaac and Yonah to Gerishin, and we're going to come to be Mamaya Dinim of Yivavoma. You know, that's the fundamental thing. Let's be Mamaya Dinim of Gerishin. So where do we know now the din of love, Aloli Yivavoma? Both laws are coming to tell me something else. Okay, scratch that. Take three. So Ella on our crow, there's actually another limut for this. Since it says in the Pasuk Beit Chalutza now, so now we understand that, I mean, what do you, Chalutz tells me, I mean, what does Chalutz mean? Obviously, Chalutz, Chalutza now. So therefore, it's telling me that the Na'al is an essential component of this Yitziyah. And same way we have the Sefer Kritut by the Isha. A Sefer is an essential component of Yetziyah. Isha, a Na'al is an essential component of a yitzia of a yavama, and you can't substitute a sefer for a null. So it's serving the same role that sefer does for gittin. So null in biriach minin lo. Now, that's what now comes from. I now lochu diata. I thought I'm violating the kiddushanya. That's a very important drasha. That it says that she should be called sad na'alo. So what do we learn from over there? That this means Amy Ella na'alo, na'alo shokol adabina. Like, how about if he is wearing somebody else's shoe? So it says over here it has to be his shoe. So therefore it comes to tell me the na'al, but it's any old na'al. So Talmud Lomar na'al, na'al ribah. So we have now an extra pasuk alludes to na'al to tell me it doesn't really matter whose shoe it is. Yeah, but then you'll say, so then if that's the case, just avoid saying his shoe in the first place. Then you don't need that. Why did you use now the possessive, na'alo? If you would have said na'al in the first place, I would never have come up with the idea that maybe it's got to be his personal shoe. So why does it say na'alo? And no, that's something else. That's to tell me na'alo haro'ilo, that it's got to fit. The shoe has got to fit the guy. It doesn't have to be owned by the guy.
I wasn't really
was that Yibum or Ishus?
Yeah.
It was Ishus. So, Prat the Gadol.
If the shoe fits, does he have to wear it?
There you go.
No, it's an amazing they sound funny, these points, but it's really an amazing thing. The extent to which we use that in exactly the same sense that Yibum uses it. No, but it's a fender to fill his shoes.
Yeah.
Person has to fill the. That's why from the home of a person who died, you could take anything, but you don't take shoes.
Really?
Yeah.
You can take anything.
Because in taking shoes, it's like you're going to be yoming in his shoes. Well, that's not a very good idea. It means that it's a profound sense of being in the way nature is.
But you make entomology.
It's just the soft
view. No, it is. It's an amazing thing that it should fill such a role. You know? So anyway, now therefore comes to tell me that has to fit him. So if it's too large, prat le gadol she'en yachol la'alecho, it can't be so large that it falls off as he's walking. And it cannot be so small, prat lekatan, she'eno chofe et rov raglo. It's too small to cover most of his foot. And it's prat lemesulayim, she'eno akev. Sulayim or sulia, Rashi learns, is called a sulia because it only has a sole but not a heel. So in other words, you are exposed at the heel. It's a rather strange kind of situation, as is, of course, the contrast between a sole and a heel right there in the same place. I mean, you know, what is the guy? Remember, there's a guy who's today a very big Rosh Yeshiva. When he first came to Eretz Yisrael, he didn't know how to speak Hebrew, and he needed a replacement sole on his shoe. He goes into a shoemaker. It was hilarious. And he says, Yesh lecha nishama b'shvil. he became sort of a healer. So anyway, here's the machlokas we've shown you, whether the Rashi learns it means the heel is exposed, or whether Mesulia means you don't have an additional piece. You know, they started making now the running shoes to be kosher for chalitza, especially. So they put on that little piece and you pull the shoe up with it on the back now. So that's how some Rishonim learned that they're missing that piece. So that the shoe doesn't hold your foot other than with a strap. But that's not good enough because then you're not really taking off the shoe. Because it wouldn't have stayed on without the strap. So it has to come up around your heel. That's how they learn. But of course we're not like that. Yeah, in other words, right, it has to hold. It can't be open in the back like a clog. That's how that's how they learn. But Rashi's means Mamish doesn't have a heel, but the soul stops before the heel. But in any event, we need the word Nal, so we need both of the Nal. So now one is telling me Nal, Dafka Nal, and I mean, so where do we get now the Nal to tell me that they get one Nal? Because in Kain Nichtav Kron Nal. So you think, Beit Chalutz Nal. What's how Nal? So Shvam Yatarte, now we know all of the Inyanim. So we understand now that it also has to fit him, it doesn't need to be specifically his, and that only Anal helps, free Yavama.
But even the...
Sorry?
In the Beis Din, they have Anal that they give everyone.
That is made to fit everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Because there's so many complicated shittas that they want to make sure that it's a kosher chalitza.
You have a special shoe for that.
You have a special shoe that's adjustable. Not all of these. Every Beis Din worth its salt has to have a chalitza shoe handy. It's one of the signs of being a serious Beis Din. All right, who's taking Richie's place? Baruch Hashem, we are at the not. I don't mean Richie's place. I mean Saba Joshua's place. Baruch Hashem,
we have other people.
Baruch Hashem, we have rebuilt. Baruch Hashem, we reached the next Mishnah. That's already a sign that we're on our way. Looks like you're on, Rabbi Yisrael. Eved Ivri. Once we are already coming to discuss the Kinyonim, we have Kinyonim of Venetia. We already saw a very fascinating interrelationship when it comes to Amma Ivriya, crossover in certain dinim between Ishut and Amma, right? Now, that already turns our attention to the Kinyonim that would be Nogea an Eved. What's interesting is that Amma Ivriya is only one of five different types of Avodim that we're going to have to, besides Eved Knani, of course, but there are five different types of Eved Ivri that we're going to have to consider La Halacha and bring a Raya for each different type, what the Kinyan is of the Knis and what the Kinyan is of the Yitzia. So let's consider what the situation is. As we go through the Torah, the first din of Eved Ivri that we find is in Parshat Mishpatim. And over there it's talking about Vinimkar Begnevato. Betch Bezden sells this Eved. So this is Eved number one, who's called a Nimkar Ayadei Beit Din. Who goes to work on a Sunday? Only these sucker medical people. Go to the doctor. So what do you have over there? The whole, all of the halachas, you work for sheish, it's right, that's the dinim in mishpat that we find. We come to Vayikra, and we find two additional types of Eved Ivri. One is kiyamucha chicha, so when your brother has become poor and sells himself to you, that's a mocher atatzmo. Mocher atatzmo is a different situation. Is it clear that a mocher atzmo, mashal, has a right to marry a shivcha? I said, Nimka Bebezdin, the Torah defines it. A guy is going to fall in love with some shivcha, a non-Jew, sell himself as an Eved Ivri, and now all of a sudden he's allowed to sleep the shivcha. I mean, does that necessarily follow? No. So obviously that's a whole different set of halachas, and maybe has different dinim of Kinyan, different dinim of Yitzhiya than a Nimka Bebezdin. So that's number two. Then we continue a little bit further, and we get to the din of a Nimkar La'akum. Does Nimkar Le'ger Toshav? We darshan over there, special halachas. What's the din? How do we have to respect the Kinyan of an Akum, which we're going to see? That indeed the Goy has a right to buy a Jew. And that we cannot play games with him to try to get the Jew out of his rishus. We have special halachas there. Okay, how does that kinyan take place? Normally, the kinyan of an Akum is different than the kinyan of a Yisrael. So we have to see what happens over there. Then we have, back to Mishpatim, we have the din of an Eved that was Nimkar Bebeit Din, who says, Ahavti et Adoni, Bet Ishti, and so on, which we do Ritziyah. So we take him, Lifnei Elohim, we take him to Beis Din, and we put an awl through his earlobe, and now he's going to be Eved, La'olam. So that's different, okay? That's Yitzhiya B'Yovel. Over there, there's different Kinyanim also. Remember, it's being a whole person's year to make a Kinyan. Again, that also has to be established. So that's number four. And then we have the case of the Amma Ivriya, which is number five, which is not obviously not a standard Kinyan of an Eved Ivri, special din. First of all, she can't have reached puberty. So, I mean, it's almost the opposite of an Eved Ivri. Their father is Meicher, But the situation that evolves is a situation which now spills over into Ishut because of the din of Yehud, that the money for the purchase can be used now as the money of Kiddush. So now the Mishnah is going to just tell us Stam, and the Gemara is going to go through all of the different halachas of the five types of Eved Ve'aman. So, an Eved Ivri is nikta b'kesev and with a shtar, and his koneh atzmo with shanim, that means he works for 6 years, and at the end of the 6 years, he's yotzen. Or if Yovel comes first, he's yotzen b'yovel. Or b'giraon kesev, which means that he can buy his way back, ba'al korcho, of the other. So that if we prorate the amount of money that was paid for the 6 years of work, whatever is left, he can pay. And even if the other says, but I wanted you for the whole time, and now you're already trained, and now it's going to cost me five times as much, but too bad. This Giron Kesev, a special luck, he can buy himself back. Now the truth is, we're going to see, as Tosis points out, that there's another Yetzia, which is Bishtar. But that cannot be done by Korcho. So the Tana over here is listing the things that is not up to the other. He's going to be a Yotz B'Sheish whether the other likes it or not, be Yoiva whether he likes it or not, and be Giron Kesev whether he likes it or not. There's one additional Yetzia which applies only to one of the five Avadim, namely the Oma Ibriya, where we saw Shekonat Atzma B'Simanim. So puberty for the Oma, and only the Oma, is sufficient. We're going to see why we don't learn out one from the other. Hanirtza, in the fifth category, which was the person who now was in, so in love with the situation that he didn't want to go free. So how do we create that kinyan that forces him to work until Yaival? He is Nikna Britzia. The Britzia itself is a new kinyan that the Torah was Mechadesh that creates this relationship of Avadola Olam. The Koneh Atzmo B'Yovel Uvemitat Adon. So if the master dies, then he does not work any longer. And we don't say, well, what's the difference? There's heirs that are here. A nirtza does not work for heirs. He only works for the other himself. Okay, but that's dafka din for the nirtza. A normal eved, it's a regular monetary commitment. I mean, it's you hire somebody to work. If the person isn't there, so you work for the household. I mean, why would we suddenly cancel what we bought? It's no different than anything. It's like saying you won't get your washing machine because the guy died. I mean, you paid for it. I mean, you have a lien on the work. Okay, let's go through one by one of these kinyanim, says the Gemara, and see what the basis is. Eved Ivri Nikta B'Kesev. How do we know that? Well, we know that because it says Beferush im od rabot bashanim lefihem yashiv geulato mi kesef miknato. Now over there it's talking about the case of the Eved Ivri who was sold to an Akum. The very last case that we have, Vaeker Mishpachat Ger. And over there it says that you can prorate the Yetzia depending on how many years are left to work. So and that's not the point that we're talking about over here, but the language is very significant. From the money with which he was purchased. From the money with which he was purchased. Okay, there you go. So that proves that money purchases. That's all. Malami Shadik Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, but that's only that one case. I mean, we said we had five different types of Eved Ivris. So that's Ashkan Eved Ivri and Nimkalov Kochavim. That handles that particular subset, right? But that's because perhaps Hovachol Kinyano Bekesev. Maybe that's because, now here we have a major Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, which is based on a Machlokas Rishonim of how to paskin about the Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in the Gemara about whether Kinyanim of Yisrael are essentially Mashiach or are essentially Kesev. So, and whatever they are by Yisrael, they're the opposite because of the pasuk by an akum. So that's the question. Is Dvar Torah Ma'ot Konot or Mishichas Konot? So Rashi learns that we say an akum of a chol kinyano b'kesev means that a goy does not have a din of Mishicha, only has a din of Kesev, whereas by Yisrael, the din of Mishicha is midiraita because it says biyad amitecha. The problem is that that's the sheet of Reish Lakish. Tainus Stasis, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, and all it's on the contrary. That Vartaram Ma'ota, what's going to buy Yisrael, the Mashiach is a Drabona. So I don't understand what it is that we're saying over here. We're going to tell me, according to Rabbi Yochanan, so we're going to say all of this Kinyanim of Kesef, Anarab, all of the Kinyanim of the Yisrael are Bekesef. The Goy is Dafka not Bekesef, it's been Mashiach. But that's because there's a machlokas, Rashi tells us always about how to paskin in this particular case. Whether we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan or we paskin like Rabbi Shlokish. The standard is that in a machlokas, Rabbi Shlokish, Rabbi Yochanan, paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Rashi has reasons, which he speaks about in Bamatziah, about paskin like Rabbi Shlokish, consistently wherever he brings this machlokas. According to Tosis, we're going to have to learn this in the exact opposite way. Because we can't say that the normal Kinyan of the Goy is Bekesev if we paskin that Adarab, the normal Kinyan of Yisrael is Bekesev. So Rabbi Natana has to learn that the meaning of Kol Kinyan Bekesev is that we're going to see that there's no other way for a Goy to be Kena, an Ebed Ivri, except through Kesev. Masha'in came by Yisrael, there are other modes of Kinyanim, like Shtar. So because of that, maybe this is a din that takes the place of Shtar, and it's unique for an Akum, and it doesn't apply to an Eved Ivri that's nicked up Ayyidei Yisrael. But okay, but no matter how we learn, we see here clearly that each subset needs to be addressed individually. So that if I could show you there's a reason to distinguish between a Nimkar la'Akum and a Nimkar la'Yisrael, and when I say a Nimkar la'Yisrael, I mean even HaMocheret Atzmo la'Yisrael. There's also another subset of Mochru Beidin la'Yisrael, right? Fine, we'll see, we'll need separate rayas for it. But how do we know, as the Gemara, a Nimkar la'Yisrael minolan? Ah, minolan, that we learn, actually, from the word Vehevda. Vehevda appears in the sugya of the Oma Ivriya. So there it says, Ibra'a b'nei Adonea, asher lo ye'ada Vehevda. So that means, Vehevda, as we learned earlier, that proves that the Adon is involved in the pidyon. How is he involved in the pidyon? By accepting the prorating of the amount of her work connected to the amount of the original purchase price. So that teaches us, Malamishimigarat pidyona v'yotza. So we see from there that the kesev, okay, obviously we're going to say that we're going to take now the money that was used. So that teaches us that it was the money that was kanui, because otherwise, what are we being migareya? It has nothing to do with the kinyan. Okay, fine. So now you've told me two cases out of five. The Alma Ivriya, that was the fifth case. And then you're telling me the Nimkal Akum. Let's call that the first case, just because it's the first one that we've discussed. Okay, but there's all the other cases. How about a Nimkal? You added now Nimkar Yisrael, you're trying to learn out from Amma Ivriya. That still is going to leave us other cases. But this teaches us an Amma Ivriya. You want to use this to tell me anybody who's Mocheret Atzmo? I mean, maybe an Amma Ivriya is different, because an Amma Ivriya, we've already seen, can be Mekudeshet with Kesev like any other Isha. So since the purchase of an Amma Ivriya is also for purposes of Yud, so maybe that's a special halacha that you use Kesev, which you have a choice. If you want to use it for Kiddushin, okay, use it for Kiddushin. You want to use it for her work as an Amma, use it for her work as an Amma. So therefore, since she's Mekanya Bekesev, so she can also be Mekanya Bekesev. That makes sense? But an Eved Ivri? Where does an Eved Ivri come to being bought and sold with Kesef? You want to make an arrangement, you write out a shtar for the arrangement. Who writes the shtar and so on? That we'll see later on, the Gemara is going to discuss. She will talk about that when I get back. But I'm leaving you with recordings of the next two dafim. So, okay, so we'll see that later. But whether he writes, I am hereby selling myself to you, or whether it's a kinyan similar to Kiddushin. But in any event, how do we know that a male, Eved Ivri, was being Mochret Atzmo Yisrael? How do we know that that could be done through kinyan of Kesef? Omar Kro, this is a very, very fundamental pasuk. The Torah puts together the dinim of an Oma Ivriya to an Eved Ivri. Because it says over there in Re'eh, Ki yimacher lecha achicha ha'ivri o ha'ivriya Ve'avatcha sheishanim. So this teaches us, makish ivriya ivriya. The Torah is telling me the dinim of an ivriya and an ivriya are the same. Which creates, of course, a lot of problems for us because they're not the same. But we discuss later on which things not to include in this. Okay. But meanwhile, we see that in the same way that an Amma Ivriya that sells, her father sells her, it's Bekesa. A person who sells himself to a Goy is Bekesa. A person who sells himself to a Yisrael is Bekesa. Ah. But how about Mahru Bedin? Right?
No.
I'm sorry, what's that?
Mahru Bedin.
Yeah. Sorry. So this case of Ivri v'Ivriya, since it says ki yimacher lecha, is understood as not refer. You're telling me that this applies to the case of mocher atzmo, but yimacher lecha doesn't mean mocher atzmo. Yimacher lecha means that it was sold to you through someone else. That's a simple meaning. Same thing is true of the Amma. You could use the word yimacher because her father sold her. But, I mean, we wouldn't have used the passive word yimacher as if it's an object, if a person had sold himself, and you're claiming that I'm comparing the mocher at atzmo, I'm comparing now over here to the Amma Ivriya, but it's not true. This is a nimkar b'beit din that is being compared. So now, actually, you're teaching me the wrong limud. So ashkan mochru b'beit din, I could say, okay, you know what? Mochru b'beit din, it's not in his hands. He's Nimkar Bal Korcho. So over there it makes sense that he can be Nikna Bekesef. Because over here we don't require much because he's not in his own hands. That means that the Torah has already weakened the level of Kinyanim that are necessary. Normally a Kinyan can only take place with the Dat HaMakneh. Once we're talking about a Kinyan that can be made without the Dat HaMakneh, then it's a very light Kinyan. It means that it's easy to achieve this. The Torah is making very low standards for this Kinyan. Okay, so over there it makes sense to compare it to the Ivriya that it should be done Bekesef.
The money goes to
this? Well, the money goes to this, the person who was robbed.
Huh.
I mean, that's why we're selling it.
Right.
But how do you know that a Mocher Atzmo, how do you know that somebody who sells himself is also included in the comparison now to the Amma Ivriya? I mean, that doesn't apply to him. Ah, says the Gemara, that's also a very fundamental limud, which is going to be taking up our consideration for the next day as well. We have a Gezeira Shava from which we learn out all of the dinim. By a Mocher Atzmo, it says, Kasacher Katoshav Yia Imach. Okay? Note the word Sachir. And when it comes to the din of a Mahru Beit Din, it says, Ki mishneh schar sachir, they're talking about ha'anaka, which means that you have to give the guy a tip when he finishes his 6 years. And it says, you know, and the guy deserves a tip. He's worked for you, mishneh schar sachir. Also the word sachir. That tells us that any din that applies by one, applies by the other. If I can show you that the case of Mahru Beit Din is yotze now, or is it Nikna Bekesef, which I just proved from Yimacher Lecha HaIvriya HaIvriya, then I can also know by definition that that Kinyan is going to apply to the one who was Mocher et Atzmo Kesachir V'Ketoshav Yelach. So therefore, we learn it from Sachir Sachir. Says the Gemara, but wait, Heinich L'Mandu Yolim Sachir Sachir. That's only because we hold of that Gzera Shava. Remember that a Gzera Shava has to be Mikubal from your Rebbe. You can't make a Gzera Shava up on your own. We know that there's a Mandu Yomar who doesn't hold of Sachir Sachir. Now, this little statement takes up the next entire daf because we're wondering, excuse me, but how do you know somebody doesn't own Sakhir Sakhir? And now we spend a very long time trying to figure out who would that be that doesn't own Sakhir Sakhir. So we go off on a tangent, which the Gemara often does, which in the course of the tangent we end up going through all of the dinim of Eved Ivri to see where it's learned out from. And so Mamela, it's a very effective way of teaching us now all of the dinim that are subsidiary to the Mishnah. But but that now is the place to actually include them in the overall structure of the five different classes of Eved. So this is, the Gemara often does it in this way. So what about according to the other man Yomar, who doesn't hold the Sokir Sokir, this putative man Yomar? So my Hikala Meimar, what are you going to say? How do we know that a Mecher es Atzma is Nikna with Kesev? Oh, that I have another Pasuk for. Omar Kro, for that the Pasuk says, V'chi tasig yad gervet oshav imach. So that vav of v'chi tasig, which is the closing case now, means that it's mosif al inyan rishon. The first case in Vayikra is talking about kiyam buchachicha and sells himself to you, to a Jew. The second one, the closing one, is and in a case where he sells himself to a goy. Uh-huh. But we've already established when he sells himself to a goy, mi kesev miknato, that kesev is a kinyan. So why are you using a vav achibur if this is a whole new idea? Since you're using a vav achibur, you're telling me that the prior case, the elyon, is learnt out to be part of the lower case, the second case. So that means that just like the nimka to a goy is nikna because of niknato, so too is yilamid el yom mitakton. So too is a person who sells himself to a Yisrael also nimka with kesef. He said there's somebody that doesn't know the sucker sucker. Who's that? So mantan the lo yolif sucker sucker boy. He didn't suspect what he was getting into. So now, who is that man, the Omar, that doesn't hold the soccer soccer?
I'm not asking last night's question. Yeah.
What about Evolution? Just a little question.
He knew. Sounds like a setup to me. So, what's the soccer soccer? Who is that man, the Omar? Man, Tana, lo yolim soccer soccer. Hi, Tana, who? It's got to be the following Tana that he's referring to. Somebody who sells himself can specify that he wants to be mocher himself for 10 years, whatever. I mean, the din of 6 years specifically is only where Bezdin sells himself. If he sells himself stam, so then it means that it's included under sheish. But if he specifies at the time of the mechira, I'm selling you my work for 10 years, whatever he specifies. Mashenkin Machru Beidin, Enonim Kar Elalashesh. Okay. Hamocher Atzmo Enonirza. Another difference is, and here we're starting to get a better sense of the different classes, the different dinim. So, Enim Kar Beidin, 6, as opposed to Mocher Atzmo. Furthermore, someone who's Mocher Atzmo decides not to be Yotze at the end of Shesh does not have an option for Ritzia. If he wants to continue living with that family, he just has to sell himself again if they don't want him or whatever. There's no way for him to be kidnikna through nirtza. So ain't no nirtza, whereas mokru beidin is nirtza. Furthermore, a mokru atzmo in mani kimlo. There's no din of giving that extra tip, which is quite substantial, as we'll see later, to someone who sells himself. But if he's been sold in beidin, then there is. Okay, mokru beidin mani kimlo. Furthermore, a mokru atzmo in rabo moselo shibcha knanit, an eved who sold himself does not have any right to be sleeping with a shifcha knanit, and therefore the adon cannot insist that he take a shifcha knanit. Whereas a machru beidin rabo moselo shifcha knanit, when it comes to machru beidin, the master cannot only allow him to marry a shifcha, but can insist that he works for him at making babies for him. So that basically he bothers him at night as well, which is the reason we say Mishneh Schar Sachir. He's working for you double. He works in the day, he works in the night. So therefore you owe him a tip. Okay.
This is so, the Makor form where we learn now that marrying a goy is like a slavery. You didn't do that.
Okay. Yes, yes. All right, so now we have, by the way, it's not so partial what I just said. That's the way Rashi learns. However, other Rishonim disagree with Rashi. Other Rishonim learn anyone who is an Eved Ivri is Mutter Neshif Ekanani. So it's not that when it said Rashi learns over here, Ein Rabomo Selo Shifcha Knani, because he's also Neshifcha Knani. Other Rishonim learn, no, he's mutter neshivka kanani. However, the sale, a voluntary sale of oneself, does not include the commitment to be making babies for you. That's all. So in other words, the owner cannot force him to take it. If he wants a shivka kanani, that's his business, but you can't force a guy to act as a stud for you. I mean, that's not part of the job description.
And he could
sell. Very interesting job.
But could he sell himself a little more? So he's got a big jet, he wants to go to the jet, he wants to gain more money, then he will sell.
He can't. That's what I'm saying. That's a machlokas between Rashi and the Ritva. But there are others who learn that this is just a din, and you can't force him. But
if
certainly,
he does sell it, then you can't. If he does sell it,
he could sell that right.
Then he can be forced to sleep.
Like anything else, same way you can force him to work. I mean, take him to court. You know, I mean, he's stealing your money. It's not a din in, you know, beating him. I mean, it's just a regular monetary kia.
And came by the
what? Speak, speak. Weren't you feeling relaxed asking that question?
I'm sorry.
They'll teach him to think before he speaks.
It's the purpose of it. Obviously. Okay. So now, if we come up now with this machlokas, right? So we have over here, I'm sorry, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Masha Enke, this is the sheet of the Tanakhama. Masha Enke, there's a whole issue, which it's not good to get into over here, we'll get into it later in the sugya, whether this is the correct gerse. It could be it should say Rabbi Eliezer, which is mashmal later on. But let's read it right now. Rabbi Elazar Omer. No, you're wrong. All four cases that you claim distinguish the class of Malchir Atzmo from Machru Beidin are not correct. Zev is Zev Enonim Karel Sheish. The din of Sheish Shonim applies to Malchir Atzmo and Enim Kabbezdin. Zev is Zev Nirtza. The din of Ritziat Ozen to work or to Yovel applies to both. Vzev Zev Mani Kimlo. There's the din of giving that extra tip to both. And Zev Zev Rabo Moser Lo Shivcha Knanit. It's included in the job description by definition. Okay. What are they arguing on? It seems to be a very straightforward machloket. If Rabbi Elazar is claiming that all of the dinim that affect the class of Mokrat Atzva is the same as the Nimkar B'Bei Din, so he's obviously learning Sakhir Sakhir. So the Kesakhir V'Toshav that appears in the Parsha of a Mokrat Atzmo is compared to Kesakhir Mishneskar Sakhir, which is talking about the din of Nimkar B'Bei Din. So then by definition, if you have now Xerishava, whatever is true of one class is true of the other class. The Tanakhama doesn't hold to that clearly. It's telling me now that there is no din of Sakhir Sakhir. So the Tanakhama, my Labakam implication. Undoubtedly this is the Machlokas. Very straightforward. We now know who's who. The Tanakhama does not learn out Sakhir Sakhir. So he ends up with Diyukim in the Sugya of Nimkar B'Bei Din, which there's no reason to apply to the sugya of Mocheret Atzmo, whereas Rabbi Elazar is Yolid Sakhir Sakhir, and so that's the most elegant explanation. So across the board, whatever I find in the Parsha of Nimkar B'Bei Din, by definition, I know is true of the class called Mocheret Atzmo. Omrev Tzivyumi Mishmei De'Abaye. That's not necessarily true. Because if you look more carefully into the basis of these four halachas, the din of Shifcha Knani, and Ha'anaka, and Ritzia, and Sheish, you will see that in each one of them, there is actually a basis in the pasuk itself, without coming on to something exterior like a Gzeirah Shavah that just tells me just apply it across the board. Each one of these cases, on a case-by-case basis, can be seen as having a basis for the machlokas Rabbi Elazar v'Chachamim, without necessarily claiming that Sakhir Sakhir is what's giving us the din. I would say, actually, the Gzeirah Shavah is a Gzeirah Shavah. Why should we think that there's a machlokas about this Gzeirah Shavah? The Gzeirah Shavah is true. The Rabbanan also the Gzeirah Shavah. However, the Rabbanan find indications in every one of those four dinim. Let's review them again. we have the din of Nimkar L'Sheish, that it's only Sheish, as opposed to the Shita Tanakama, could be anything. We have a din of Ritzia, could be differently. We have the din over here of the Odoin Moisaloi, Shivcha Knanis. And we also have the din of Ha'anaka, giving him that extra amount of money. Each one of those can be, on a case-to-case basis, shown to exclude itself, Alibita Tanakama, from Sakir Sakir, even if you're all of Sakir Sakir. Let me show you. We'll take it case by case. Actually, they're arguing in the following psukim, and that's the point. Why does the Tanakama hold that the din of Shesh does not apply to a Mokhra Atzmo? Because Miet Rachman, Gabi Machru Beitin, the Avadcha Sheshanim. Why does it say? He'll work for you. What do you mean work for you? Just say, the Avad Sheshanim, he'll work. Obviously, he's going to work for you. So if it says, it means you and only you, meaning you and only you who bought him through Beitin. But not someone who would have sold himself to you under other circumstances, which we're not discussing over here. Therefore, it tells me, Zeh, this guy, Velomo Keratzmo. It's interesting. So what indeed does Rabbi Elazar, who claims that the halacha applies across the board, what does he do with that pasuk va'avatcha? Clearly va'avatcha means you and only you. Yes, of course, but that means va'idach va'avatcha lecha v'lo liyoreish. That's coming to tell me that even a case of a mocheret atzmo, where the odin dies, he does not work for an heir. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to make it clear. This we'll see when I get back home in Ritzasher, that it doesn't really mean he doesn't work for an heir. It means he does not work for an heir other than the son. But we'll get to that later. Fine. Let's assume for a moment it means there's no Yerusha at all, which leaves all kinds of issues. So what about the money and so on? We'll talk about upon my return, Bezrat Hashem. But it certainly doesn't mean only an Imka Bebeit Din. Anybody would be Avat Chashay Shani. The Idah. Now that halach is that indeed a machlokas between the Tanakama. No, the Tanakama agrees to that halach. But they say that they learned that out from somewhere else. Because the pasuk also says, Ki mishne schar sachir avadecha. In the din of ha'anaka, it's once again stresses the word avadcha. Okay, so they say we have two avadcha. So one indeed comes to tell me lecha v'lo liyoreish. One comes to tell me lecha, and only this case, and not in a case where you were mocher atzmecha, but only nimka bebeit din. V'idach, what does indeed Rabbi Lazar do with that? He says, what that's talking about over there? Ahula hartza'at adon. That's talking about just to make the guy happy. The pasuk is saying to him, hey, you don't want to give him a tip? What do you feel so bad about? Mishnez char sachiravatchai. The guy's been working for you, man. So over there, what are you going to say? The guy's been working? We're not care if he's been working. The whole point of the pasuk, the guy's been working for you. You don't want to give him a tip? So that's not an extra pasuk. That's a pasuk that's explaining to the Adain the morality of giving him a tip. So what are we going to say? Can't say the guy's been working. What does that mean? So why has that come to tell me you and nobody else? That's not the point of that pasuk. It's coming to tell me you, and therefore you should care about him. Same way he cared about you. So that doesn't prove anything. So now we're back to our question. So now the machlokas ends up being the question of whether we have a right to be medayik that or not. And that's legabe, the din, over here, of Sheish. How about the machlokas about Ritzia? My time of the Kamakama who holds at Mocha Atzmo Eino Nirtza. Since the Torah writes, when you're sold in Beit Din, viratza adonav et ozno bemartzeya. Well, it doesn't have to say ozno, does it? It's the ozen. I mean, we're certainly not talking about his wife's ozen. I mean, so why does it have to say ozno? To tell me this ozen, and only this ozen. V'lo ozno shemocher atzmo. This cannot be done. If he sold himself, there's no din of ritzia at all. See, even though Socher would have told me that the din of ritzia that we find by Nimka Bebetin should be applied to the case of Mocher at Atzmo, Kitoshav Ukesachir Yeimach, Kamashvan Ozno, that vis-a-vis this halacha does not apply. Socher.
Just the boy of his elders to the
The whole parsha. Yeah, it doesn't apply. There's no. What can you do? Either they'll agree to keep him on and he'll sell himself again, or they won't. But it's not nothing to do with the Ritzia. The Edah. So now, what indeed? Rebbe Lazarus says, no. It applies across the board. So what does he use that Ozno for? He says, that Ozno, it's a famous Ozno, my gosh. How do we know what ear you're supposed to use in the dinim of the where the Torah talks about an ear? So we find such a halacha about ears when it comes to sprinkling the shemen on the ear, the blood on the ear in the case of tzoras. So he says that over there it says the halacha of ozen, and that appears as gzeirah shava. If it hadn't said ozno, how would I know which ozen you make that hole through? Because since it says over here ozen, and it says over there ozen, by the din of the mitzorah, so therefore, mala alan yamin, over there it specifies beferish the din of ozen hayimanit. Because over there it says, al ozen hamita her hayimanit. It specifies. So I learn out, afkan yamin. So it's time to understand. What is that? I told you the diak is from Ozno. Ozen shel zev, ozen shel mocher at atzmo. And you're bringing me from the word ozen. I agree the word ozen is ozen ayimani. It doesn't say Ozno. It says ozen hamitaher. So what do you, what, lema kro ozen? What's this Ozno? No, says Rebbe Lebed. I need, tell me something else. Ahi, ami boile Ozno velo ozna. An Oma Ivriya is not near Tzad. How do you know that Oma Ivriya is not near Tzad? If an Eben Ivriya is near, so why don't we learn out the two dinim from each other? Oh, because it says specifically, a male ozen and not a female ozen. So even though it says, the afla amatcha ta'asekein, that is referring to Hanaka, not to Ritzia. Otherwise we wouldn't have known that. Ooh, that's a good point. Ah, v'idah, that I also know from a different pasuk, because it says, v'im omar yomar ha'eved ahavti et adoni et ishti. Now, who are we talking about over here? A male or a female? A male. So in other words, the male is saying, and that means only the eved v'lo ama. So I know that already. So now we're back to, why do I need Ozno? I don't need Ozno to tell me Ozno v'lo Ozna, because it already opened up the whole parsha by saying it's only an Eved and not an Amma. So therefore, what is it coming to tell me? Ozno shazeh v'lo Ozen shomocher at atzmo. And not to apply sakir. But sakir is certainly true for other things, not for this halacha. V'idav. So indeed, what do you use that for if you hold that we do apply sakir? Omi boile ach yomar kishuhu eved. It says im yomar ha eved, meaning that if the clock stops ticking, ding, 6 years are up. So now the guy says, I want to stay. What do you mean you want to stay? You're out already. You can't stay. Your time is up. If he says it before the ding, so then in Arfinami, then you can do the Ritzia as an extension. Ritzia is only an extension. It's not a new Kenyan. That's why it says, Im Yomar Ha'eved. Not to tell me Ha'eved, Veloha Amah. But if while he is in the state of Avdut, so then it's able to create the Kenyan of Ritzia. But after he's in Eved already, the time's up, there's no Ritzia.
What about a Kenyan?
Would it be a new sale?
End of Shani, is it an automatic Kenyan?
Yes. Yes, yes. Yotzi b'sheish, that's the point. Sheish is the Kenyan. That's why we include in the Mishnah. V'idach mi'eved ha'eved. Right? Say ha'eved. Im Yomar Eved. So in other words, an Eved says, a guy who's Akashesh is not an Eved. Saying Ha Eved, and it means Dafka, the male Eved, and not the female. No. That's already, come on, enough already. So we've gotten a lot of information out of this pasuk, but not learning not sakir sakir. That's the machlokis. But why make this a universal question about whether sakir sakir is true when there's so much other data that needs to be taken into consideration? So far we've analyzed two out of the four dinim as to why there would be a machlokis Rabbi Elazar and the Tanakhama. Tomorrow we're going to have to continue with the other two and see why there would be a machlokis other than sakir sakir. So all we've talked about now is the halacha of Ritzia and Yitzia B'Sheish. Okay, tomorrow we're going to discuss over there the din of Hanak, a big sugya. How do we know that? Why would we say that would be a difference? And then we're going to get on to discuss the din of Shivcha Knanit. How do we know that would be a difference without violating the rules of Sakir Sakir? In other words, to see them as unique cases, each one of them, but maybe it doesn't imply anything about Sakir Sakir. So to be continued. But just remember, we're right smack bang in the middle of a sugya. Overall sugya is, who's the man Yomar doesn't hold Sakir Sakir? The immediate sugya is, we found four cases in which there's an afkamina, according to the Tanakhama, between a Mokhra Zatzman and Imkab Bezdin, and according to Rabbi Elazar, they're all the same. We thought that the elegant explanation for that is, do I hold of Sakir Sakir? And now Abaye is quoted as saying that actually it's not very elegant, because each one of these cases has unique reason to be viewed as an exclusion from the overall din of Sakir Sakir. And that's all that Rabbi Elazar is saying. He's not denying the validity of Sakir Sakir. We're still in the middle of a discussion about whether Rabbi Elazar is the man d'Yomar. If we get to the bottom of that, we'll have to pop out to the next level, which is, okay, so who is it that doesn't know the soccer? So we're two levels down, in other words. Don't lose track of where you are in this little pop program.
Isn't that basic in that community to the Tanakh?